Welcome to Idle Red Hands, a podcast from Japan about gaming and gamer life. And welcome to Idle Red Hands. I'm Chris.
I'm Wayne.
I'm Lyle. And Wayne sneezed on me today, so I'm a little under the weather.
Oh, jeez. It was an accident, and I apologized. I was walking through the door.
Well, I suppose that's a testament to your body strength then, Wayne. You don't seem to be affected at all, whereas Lyle is wasted by this plague.
He's just a carrier.
Typhoid Mary.
Patient zero.
I don't know where to go from that.
Well, we have lots of good gaming news, either right now or soon. I know I have en route the starter set for the latest Legend of the Five Rings arc, I guess you would call that.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about the card game.
Yes, the card game.
Okay.
And even though it was released in the mid-90s, I've never played it. I picked up the role-playing game, each edition of the role-playing game. I never picked up the card game, so finally broke down and said, okay, I'm going to buy this. And they had the starter set, so it's Clan Crab versus Clan Lion.
Yes, yeah. Kind of the same deal for me. It's the game that I saw hanging on the wall at my local game store, but no one in my circle of friends actually played it. So, yeah, never touched it before.
They never even saw it before.
Well, maybe you'll touch it soon, Chris.
I hope so.
And then we found out that our copies of Blood and Smoke are on the way.
Mm-hmm.
They're the printed copies, or print copies. I always say printed, but I suppose I should say print, right?
Well, they have been printed, so.
Yeah. You are not incorrect.
And our print copy. Maybe I should just say books. Wow. They actually had a word for this, like maybe before PDF.
What do we have before PDFs? These are called books.
We're getting our Cortex Hacker's Guide books coming.
Cool. Yeah, finally.
Very cool.
Yeah.
That took a while, hey.
Right.
Yes, it did.
And actually, Emergence book is coming soon.
How soon?
Not quite, you know, we've got the stuff from the printers, but soonish.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, so a whole bunch of good news.
Yeah, I want to get a look at that. The art looks really nice for Emergence.
Yeah, that looks really good.
I actually got one of mine, one of my Kickstarter ones, the one that Wayne and I went in together, that Golden Sky Stories, which is that kind of Ghibli anime, My Neighbor Totoro-based kind of role-playing game. No combat, all kids. It's all about, like, mystery and wonder and, yeah, childish kind of... The childish kind of world. Looks really cool.
Okay. Yeah. So that sounds like something I would not be interested in.
Right.
You know, the reason I got it actually is because I think that it looks like something that kids could really enjoy. So it's something that I hope to be able to play with my daughter when she gets old enough. So
what's wrong with Dungeons and Dragons?
Nothing at all. Nothing at all. But she's, my wife is really into to cutesy kind of stuff. She's a pretty stereotypical Japanese girl.
Right.
So I imagine my daughter might be the same way. And in which case this game would also fit well for that, but it looks like a fun game to me too. I really like that kind of Ghibli world, so I think it'd be fun. I hope it's fun.
Right.
And then we got the Otaku game from the same company, Made.
Right. That sounds like it'd be tons of fun.
Where you play like hentai anime maids. That one's Wayne's, by the way.
Wait a minute. Weren't you guys complaining? No, wasn't Wayne complaining about that rape card game?
Yes, and
so I guess you don't rape the maids.
No, you don't. I think Chris kind of got a little bit incorrect. It's more of the romantic comedy.
Is it called Maid?
It is called Maid because have to play.
Yeah, you say that the art in this book it's not what I would call romantic unless you consider like Hustler also romantic.
Really?
My wife was looking through it and she said women don't have boobs this big. Women don't have waist this small.
Right. Right. And Wayne's fainting. Really? Oh, I might not have noticed the art part of that.
I only bought it for the articles.
I did.
Didn't Henry Kissinger write a little something in there?
There you go. I changed that. I only got it for the mechanics.
Right.
Okay, which is the one that had the My Little Pony book added to it as a throw-in?
That one, actually, I have to admit, that's also the Golden Sky Story is the one that I bought. Yeah, I didn't even know this was going to be included, but they kind of take like Japanese mythological creatures, like Tanuki, the raccoon dogs, and
the My Little Pony, which is pretty.
Well, that
wasn't
would
it.
Be
Kieran, edgy. My Little Pony.
No,
yeah.
Could you let the man finish?
No, but most most Japanese supernatural creatures can shape change into humans, so that's where it's all at. But for some reason, they added in like a My Little Pony type character into a a bonus materials book that they sent along with it.
Right.
Didn't know that one was coming. I'm clear.
Is it actually like a My Little Pony-esque thing, or is it just a pony character?
Or a little small.
Yeah, it says pony, and the art looks like a My Little Pony pony.
Well, I'm not saying it's not, but, you know, it being all cutesy and stuff, I don't think you could really do an anime pony without having it look like a My Little Pony.
Yeah, it's My Little Pony pony, though. It's got that same kind of foot where there's no hoof. It kind of just goes into a broad foot at the bottom. Yeah. Same kind of art.
All right.
Wayne will be getting that, apparently.
Yep, you can have that one, Wayne.
Okay, fine, fair enough. Whatever.
Oh, but you're going to have to have like a brown paper bag to bring that to
home. No, not a brown paper bag. It's going to have to be like one of those opaque black kind of bags, you know?
No, I don't know.
No, please tell us more.
Because there's the internet and people stop buying those things.
Right. I realized that.
All right. Well, yeah, so it's a lot of good gaming news and some unclean gaming news.
Oh, it's not that unclean. Fine, to undirty myself, hopefully... I'll also be getting Revelations of Mars, the next book from Hollow Earth Expedition and Ubiquity. So, nothing dirty about that. Just not.
I'll have to see what the Martian women look like on the cover.
All right, fine. I was just going to say Nazis on Mars, but. All right,
actually,
whatever.
Come to think of it, looking back to your GM screen, there's a pretty scantily clad woman on there.
Right, because I put the art on there. So that's entirely my fault. You guys done?
Yeah. Initially.
All right.
Oh, that's just Sega.
Yeah, there's nothing. There's no way to seg from that.
All right. Well, there's no real clean seg onto the episode proper, so we'll just say what it is, and it is the latest installment of our Magic series. Now, this series is where we try to look at different magical things that kind of existed, if you will, in the real world or still exist, and what people think it did or does. And then we'll also talk about, you know, kind of extrapolate from that. What if the magic actually does exist and what you can do with that in a game?
Mm-hmm. Well, it could also be what the magic actually does, because one of our episodes before was stage magic and illusion, and those actually do exist.
True.
This is true, yeah. And then we tried to say, of what if actually people did make cards disappear?
Right. So we did extrapolate, yeah.
Yeah. So today's episode is about blood magic or blood rituals, because certainly, as Wayne was going to point out later, religion plays a strong role in this type of magic.
And now because of that, I won't point that out later. Thank you very much.
Oh, sorry about that.
As I'm going to point out now.
Right. No, yeah, I mean...
Wayne's going to have a good point in 10 minutes. It will be about...
So, a slight disclaimer for this episode. Of course, since it's titled Blood Magic, you can imagine that there is discussion of a lot of blood. There's a little bit of reference to some gory subjects and some personal ones, as well as a few references to different kinds of religions. So, if any of these things bother you, it might not be the best episode to listen to, but I don't think we go too far. So, yeah, this one, at least in the historical aspect, this one seems almost entirely based around religion. I didn't find much in the way of kind of like cult-ish magic, at least... going back into the history of it.
I think if you look at, well, we probably should talk about the religion, but I can think of some examples where the idea of blood is rejuvenating, so people have taken that to a certain extent, such as like bathing in the blood of, yeah. of young women in order to maintain their youth.
That might be an extent too far, yeah.
Well, it you know.
Okay. this episode is called, like, Blood Magic.
Yeah, right. So. that line was crossed a while ago.
Yeah, yes. Bathing in the blood is too much. But how about just, like, drinking it or, you know, just like a blood facial or
I mean, who doesn't do that?
No, what you're saying about, you know, kind of magic and religion being a little bit different, I not took a different approach, but I could see how they were originally kind of the same thing. You know, and then only with the kind of advent of modern religion, you know, Judeo-Christian stuff, did they kind of separate, no, this magic is miracles, and that magic over there is magic, and you shouldn't do it. Mm. But, you know, you go back in history past that, and I would argue that they were kind of one and the same. Like, magic and religion were very much, you know, combined and interwoven.
I agree completely. I think you're totally right on that. Yeah, I think where I was kind of drawing the line is when it comes to more recent expressions of blood magic. It has a lot to do with kind of the Wiccan movement and Wiccan practices. And that's considered kind of magic versus the miraculous of the modern Christianity.
I could see that distinction, you know, where in, I guess, in the Wiccan tradition, or they use like blood magic, where you're actually kind of doing something and you need these components or reagents to actually make the magic happen. Mm-hmm. Where, at least personally, the sense I get from miracles is they're completely spontaneous, you know, and you're not really causing them to happen except possibly through prayer.
Yeah, or you're appeasing the god with the blood to do something for you.
Yeah, okay. Sacrifice, yeah.
Yeah, you know, six of one, half dozen of the other.
Right.
Yep.
Sorry. I concur.
So, I guess the history part that I thought was really interesting at first, at least, was the Greeks and the Romans. They sacrificed a lot. They did a lot of blood rituals.
Hmm.
In the divination episode, I think we talked about how the Romans would sacrifice a goat before every battle to figure out, try and divine how the battle would go. And so we just imagine these Roman armies with herds and herds of poor goats traveling along with them.
Hmm.
So I knew that they sacrificed a lot in that sense, but reading through this, it was almost like a daily practice to give sacrifice. Not always animal sacrifices, but almost every single day you would give something to the gods. I was surprised by that.
Yeah, I think we said in that episode that the Romans were like an incredibly superstitious culture. And yeah, as you said, Chris, they would sacrifice a goat to, you know, check the outcome of a battle. But correct me if I'm wrong, if they didn't like the outcome they got, they'd pretty much just slaughter another goat and do it again. Kind of like, let's get a do-over. Ah, that's the one we're looking for.
Mulligan.
Well, there is examples, but they actually, there are examples we have where they do it over and over and over. But yeah, they needed that end result, or the soldiers would not necessarily refuse to fight, but would be very reluctant to fight because they don't have it. But yeah, the Romans are interesting in that they're a combination of a very superstitious people with a very practical people.
Mm.
So, I mean, it's almost I hesitate to like generalize here, but it's almost like a lot of your modern Christians.
I was thinking the same thing, actually.
Where it's not, it's almost as if they're afraid to say that they don't believe in God because go through the rituals.
Hmm.
And I think we're getting a little off topic, but go through the rituals because you want to hedge your bets.
Right.
And you're kind of a little bit afraid. And I think the Romans were the same. But like Chris said, like sacrifice. I mean, you can't talk about blood magic or blood rituals without talking about sacrifice. So, and of course, a classic one would be the Aztecs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, as Wayne talked about, it is part of their whole kind of cosmology and the way they looked at the world and the way they looked at the afterlife. And they think it's like their god sacrificed their blood to create the universe, so they have to kind of give back. And they see this constant, I don't know, replenishing or fertilizing everything with blood. I mean, that gives them their crops, and that ensures that they're going to continue having children and that. So they...
Yeah.
I hadn't realized that. So the Aztecs believed that the world was created through blood?
Yeah.
Because of what blood is, I can see it holding a special place in just about all cultures. Because, I mean, you think about it, like early on, humans figure out, you know, you cut yourself or you take a wound and this red stuff comes out of you. You lose too much of it and you die. So I can see how blood in many cultures was thought to hold life, and it kind of does. You know, again, you lose a lot of blood and, yeah, you die. Mm-hmm. So I see how a lot of cultures attributed this kind of mystical or magical or at least very significant, attached a lot of significance to blood.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it just kind of makes sense for blood magic to come out of that.
I agree. So, it's a pretty straight line to draw.
Right. I mean, especially you go back to like Greek and Roman animal sacrifices and that the thing you are sacrificing is what gave this animal life. So, therefore, you know, it's got to be worth a lot. Mm-hmm. And the same with the Aztecs. So, if you believe that we got our life from the blood of gods, and it, if that's almost kind of like a closed circle, then yeah, I can see how sacrificing people or other animals is kind of like giving some of that back.
I don't know, the Aztecs, wow. I mean, I know it's not really politically correct to kind of judge another culture through a more modern lens, but holy crap, they really reveled in their sacrifices. They were all about the blood. From what I was reading, they'd try to cut open the body so that it would bleed as much as possible, and they had the long steps up their pyramids so that they can throw the heads and they would roll down and it would spray blood everywhere.
Yeah, well.
Wow. that's wow.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you think about it, is that any worse than the Roman, Greek and Roman gladiators, where the idea is to give people a good show and not just kill them really quickly?
Yeah, true. Same thing with, I suppose, even some modern things, like the Spanish bullfighting, where they try to pierce the vein above the bull's forehead so that it bleeds out.
Hmm.
It's not really a sacrifice or a magical kind of thing, but you're right, it is part of the spectacle.
Well, even more modern would be wrestling, where they, if they're not using the tricks to, you know, draw blood or like cutting themselves or just using fake blood.
Mm-hmm.
But people want to see that. It's not real unless you see the blood.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's pretty gory. I mean, there are examples of cultures where, you know, it's a little bit more than blood, like eating like the heart of a fallen opponent, you get the strength, or just the, I'm going to say more mundane rituals of you kill, if Red Dawn's taught me anything, is when you kill a deer, then you drink its blood.
Hmm.
Is any part of that hunting culture?
I don't know. I tend to think if you shoot a deer, you still have to drain the blood off of it if you're going to eat the meat, but...
And then if you look at the Jewish faith or Judaism... and I think Islam borrowed a lot of this. So what is kosher?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something like halal.
Yes, yes.
Haram and halal.
No, yeah. But I think Lyle was talking about the Islamic dietary laws.
Yes.
Which is halal, I think.
Haram is prohibited and halal is allowed. It's the two opposite sides of it.
And part of that is just how you prepare the meat and draining it, like how the blood is drained. There's like a certain way to do it,
mm-hmm.
and that makes it acceptable within the faith. So you're looking at what makes this clean. A lot of it has to do with how the blood is treated, and you know, not to be too graphic or too offensive, but I understand menstruation even plays a role where women would be segregated during that period because that's considered unclean.
That's even in modern Japan as well. Women aren't allowed to go into the Shinto temples or the Buddhist temples when they're on their period.
Didn't realize that.
Yeah, and I think the shrine maidens as well, they only use young girls who haven't yet had their first period.
Maybe only
virgins.
I don't know, maybe in the temples, because like when I go on New Year's to go get like, you know, the charms for the year, there's a lot of, you know, temple maidens there, and they are much older than puberty, so.
Hmm.
And younger than menopause, just to...
Yes, yes, just to clarify. Really just to clarify. Yes. Right. Yeah.
They are adult women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, not to get too religious, but it's kind of interesting.
Too late.
How, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So I think we've talked about anything religion, anything with women.
So. Not to go farther down the rabbit hole of religion. But it's kind of interesting how both Judaism and Islam prohibit the consumption of blood because it's sort of this unclean substance where Christianity, communion is you are essentially drinking blood.
You've never been to communion, have you?
It's not I said essentially, blood. Yeah, I know it's watered down grape juice, all right. I went through communion as well.
True, but you know, they actually, when you drink it, they say, hey, this is when this goes in your mouth, it's going to be blood.
Exactly, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
But it was even like in the Last Supper, you know, it was still wine.
I realized that. What church did you go to where they actually had blood in the cup?
When Jesus said, eat of my flesh, he didn't actually mean like bite me.
Yeah, that was the original Last Supper painting. He's like on the table and he's like, oh my God.
Why do you think they called it the Last Supper?
And they blamed it on the Romans.
Oh, man.
But okay, you know, actually, that's an interesting point, because even though Catholicism is the sect that has that that tradition, Christianity is where they revised all the sacrificial laws in out of Judaism.
Hmm.
But you know, I remember a guy giving a speech once, just saying that that Christianity is also a sacrificial religion, because it celebrates one sacrifice above all others.
No, it's a good
singular
point.
One.
It's a good point.
Oh, like, yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you go on, like, Good Friday is one of the most important holidays. I remember, like, the priest saying, it's like, the quiz, what's more important, Christmas or Easter? And you're like, as a kid, well, Christmas. But So that means the answer's wrong. It must be Easter. And they're like, yes, because that's where not only does he sacrifice himself for our sins, but then he rises again, proving his divinity.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in Christmas, he was just born.
Because he didn't have a choice in that, apparently.
Yeah, with no father. Like,
it was also still a pretty big event, but hey.
Right. So, yeah, no, so absolutely, I agree with you. It's interesting how much sacrifice is even in our modern religion and what we celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's, yeah, pretty gory. I mean, we have to have a man. In order to become a god, he has to die. Mm-hmm. To rise again. And of course, when you look at it, and I probably should watch it, the Passion of the Christ.
I heard that is incredibly gory.
Yeah,
and incredibly bloody. I mean, but even when you look at the steps of the cross, mm-hmm. which a lot of churches would have, and 13, I believe. But there's when he gets whipped, and yeah. He's got the crown of thorns, like all of these are piercings. There's the spear of Longinus when he pierces Christ's side.
Right.
Again, the blood. Getting more into fiction, I used to read this series called Casca, the Eternal Mercenary.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Casca Longinus, the Roman legionnaire who pierced Christ, and he got blood in his mouth.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And then Jesus says, "You will be cursed to walk the earth until I return."
Hey, isn't that one of the... that's the...
Lentia Sanctum.
Yeah. That's right.
So even like that one event is very, very bloody, and it's all about becoming a god. And mm-hmm. is that so far removed from the Aztecs saying the gods bled for us, so now we have to give them more blood?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because what did Christ do for our God? He essentially bled for him and died. So, yeah.
And this is going to sound pretty bad, but when you were talking about the Aztecs, Lyle, and you're like, and we have to give back blood to our God, the only thing I could think of was blood
of the blood God.
Yeah, blood of the blood God.
Well, I mean, there's a lot that, I mean, it's Games Workshop. They're there to make games.
Mm-hmm. I thought they were there to make money.
they're there to give blood back to the gods.
But they're very derivative, but in a sense, as you should be very derivative, because that makes it real. You know, like drawing from the stuff that actually kind of resonates with people. Blood for the blood god. We have another one that is obsessed with sex, another, chaos demon.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And people can understand that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
They can relate to it.
It kind of resonates with the... I think it's one of those... what's the word I'm looking for? Something that's like ubiquitous across all cultures or, regardless of... I don't know, any interaction between them. It's just so, it's human nature to attach significance to blood. So, yeah, you're exactly right that, chaos demon, it's all about blood. That resonates with probably everybody just because of what blood is and how significant it is to pretty much every culture.
Yeah, and it can incite very visceral reactions in people. It's never bothered me, but my wife can't watch movies where there's blood on the screen.
Hmm. Well, fair enough. I mean, it can get too much. Mm-hmm. But just to follow up what Wayne was saying about across all cultures, I mean, we have the Native American Sundance,
mm-hmm.
which involves a ritual piercing and like a flesh sacrifice, yeah. Mm, and
yeah,
of course, other things as well, looking to perceive these visions. But if you look at some of the Sundances, I don't know all of the Sundances, but some of the pictures, it looks a lot like a crucifixion.
Hmm.
I mean, we've touched on a few reasons why they would have these rituals, but what are some of the powers that are supposed to come from the blood? I mean, to get really basic, I mean, you look at Blood Brothers.
Hmm.
Well, please don't do this anymore, kids. It's kind of like the pre-80s kind of thing. I saw a movie recently and they were going, let's be Blood Brothers. And I'm like, oh, no one does that anymore.
Yeah.
Yeesh. But, I mean, that forms some sort of bond between you. It's like an oath made in blood. It is really strong. So it's almost like there's some sort of curse or some sort of, I don't know, chain involved.
Mm-hmm.
Well, even what you just said, like, yeah, the idea of exchanging blood, you know, to kind of cement some kind of bond, you know. But even just bleeding for, like, an oath, you know, I'm sure that was part of many cultures as well, you know. It kind of, I guess it gets back to the sacrifice a bit, but you said, I am going to do this thing. Or I've made this promise, and I am going to, I'm willing to bleed to prove that what I am saying is true. And yeah. That I'm going to stay, going to honor whatever I have just said.
It was that, the French Legion one that we just did a little while ago. So people who bleed for France are allowed to become French citizens.
Hmm.
Yeah, really good one.
Yeah, we should clarify, though, that means they were wounded. Not right. That they cut themselves. It's some sort of ritual. It's part of the,
paper cut, please, no.
Please raise your hand and slash it. Bleed on the flag, please. Thank you. Bienvenue en français. Yeah, I mean, other things, I briefly mentioned it, the rejuvenation qualities.
Right.
Including almost a cleansing. And we people who read about certain things that happen to young girls, really,
mm-hmm.
because men believe that they can cure their illness by, yeah, and it's kind of graphic. I don't want to get too much into it, but
mm-hmm.
it's like a curing or a rejuvenation, healing.
I think the two most common ones I saw, we mentioned them earlier on, were that it was used to appease or to call attention of the gods so that you could get some kind of favor from them, be it, you know, good weather for your crops or, you know, to get a new political position or something like that.
Hmm.
And that isn't only limited to gods, of course. There's also different cultures that believed that it could summon other world creatures. For example, Wicca, in the Wiccan tradition, at least what I was reading, was saying that it can be used to summon demons and outside spirits and souls.
The Wiccan tradition would say demons?
I kind of thought that was bizarre, too.
From what I read, I'm nowhere near an expert, I'm not even a layman right. When it comes to that. But yeah, that's what I was reading, was talking about demon summoning and was speaking about Wiccan things.
Was this like written by like a particular church, like a Christian church?
Church being the operative word there, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's on a website called spellsandmagic.com, and there's... I don't know. It's hard. It's almost like a. It's almost kind of like an emo witch site.
Oh, okay. Because I know stuff that I looked into to Wiccan. It's yeah. They mentioned spirits,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't mention demons.
The one page I'm looking at is specifically talking about summoning demons. But like I said, I don't really know the truth of it. But not that I actually think you can summon demons with blood sacrifices. But also, one of the common things that I saw coming up was just how incredibly powerful blood is. Wayne mentioned it earlier in the episode that a lot of these kinds of magical spells require reagents in order to get going. And you could use, you know, just regular things, candles or incense, things like that. But people were writing on these message boards that using blood is like driving a Ferrari. You know, it can go really, really fast, but it's really, really dangerous. Be really careful when you use blood. So.
Okay.
Point taken. Do not cut myself and try and cast these spells. Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. You really don't know what kind of demon you're going to summon. Yeah.
Actually, that's what people are saying. If you use blood, you don't know what kind of creature you might summon. It might be more than you can handle.
Yeah, but if you light a candle, you do know what to do. All right.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a quiet demon that you probably a little shy. You might not see him. Might sound like a voice in your head.
Getting back to what you said, Lyle, about kind of the idea that blood has this rejuvenation property. Again, I totally see that connection. If this is the substance that is giving you life, then why wouldn't taking that substance from someone else give life to you? So as horrific as it is, I can see how bathing in blood would make a kind of certain sense.
You've totally done it before.
Thanks for outing me. No, but I mean, it's funny how there actually is, well, I don't know if there's any scientific proof, but recently one of the popular celebrity fads was blood facials, where they would, you know, collect blood from your body. I'm sure they would spin it and remove a bunch of, you know, components, and there was something in there that made your skin look better. So, I mean, I'm not saying that it's scientifically proven, but I don't know. There's something there. So,
yeah. Sorry, I'd never heard of blood facials.
Yeah, I really have nothing.
Really,
that.
Another yeah, not I, even I heard of blood joking. Facials. No, yeah. I was not joking. They're actually. I forget what component of the blood they take out for the facial. I think it's like the plasma or something, as I'd opposed to the red blood cells. But yeah, I don't know if it's still in fashion, but for a while.
Wow.
Collecting your own blood and making some kind of facial out of it was a thing to do.
I guess it's true. You really do have to keep up with the Cardassians. Because, man, it's just, I just can't keep up on these fads. They're certainly not immune in Japan to health fads, because we certainly get a lot of commercials with the latest pill derived from not a regular blueberry, but the super blueberry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's just a short jump away from the pill made from blood.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they crush it and you see the red and how much juice is on there. Yeah. Actually, probably I'm just misunderstanding what they mean by blueberry.
Essence
keeps
of virgin.
Me alive. But could be male virgins. We just want to make that known.
Oh, yeah. Equal opportunity, of course.
All right, right.
Were there other things it claimed to do?
Yeah. Well, and of course, as Chris mentioned, it gives you some sort of insight or into the future or to how things are going to transpire. With the sun dancing, there was some sort of visions involved, so you needed to do that.
Oh, yeah. And that was part of the Roman one, too.
Yeah. So I guess there's really nothing it didn't do. It also gave you, not only making you young, but it would give you strength.
Mm-hmm.
And make you stronger. And we also, I mean, it's obvious why we see, it's really obvious why we think vampires have certain powers, because they drink blood and just work from there.
Right. Now, that's kind of like the magical universal component from D&D 4E. What was that?
Residium, I think it was.
Right, where you could, like, disenchant a magic weapon and get an amount of residium, and then you could use that residium in place of any other reagent to cast a spell or any other spell component, and it would maybe not maximize the spell, but it was kind of, I don't know, it always kind of seemed like a cheap way of D&D to get around, hey, you want to use spell components, but you don't really want to have to carry all these spell components, so here's this thing that does everything. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, that kind of is what blood seems like to me, at least in terms of, you know, magic and spells. It's like, you can use blood to do anything, and because it is so important, it's a really powerful reagent, so go wild with it.
It's, you know, this might be kind of out there, but it might have something to do with supply and demand, you know? Because it's difficult to get blood, especially human blood, because, you know, killing people is often looked down upon in most societies. It's something that is in a limited supply around, so maybe that's one of the reasons that people attributed so much power to it. In addition to, of course, you know, it's the fact that it keeps us alive.
Right. Hey, can I borrow your blood? Yeah, sure. How much? All of it?
No.
Yeah, no. Do you guys see that movie Troll Hunter?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty good. Remember there's that part where the guy's walking out onto the bridge to lure out a troll, and he's like, well, what's that? And he's like, blood of a Christian. And they kind of look at each other like, yeah, where did you get that from? Mm-hmm. So, that, not that it was magical property, just that the smell wasn't that, but well, I thought that was, you know, interesting, pretty cool.
And of course, since we're talking about blood rituals and blood magic, we can't not mention just some of the classic examples from fiction or from games. One that definitely springs to mind in Vampire, the Chimera, the Clamere, because I'm thinking about Clamato. The Tremere.
Why is it that when we're talking about blood, you think about Clamato?
Oh, I'm thinking about South Park. Wow, just, my mind's going everywhere.
Oh, it's cold and clammy.
I'm thinking about those emo kids from South Park that drink Clamato. Yep. And they have that as part of the ritual. You got to drink Clamato to be a part of the group.
They're not emo kids. They're the vampire kids. Jeez.
Oh, or the goth kids. Okay.
No, the goth kids.
Yeah. No. So I'm thinking about the Tremere clan's thaumaturgy, if I pronounce that correctly. I never really played these guys, so never had to say I was, hey, I'm using this. So, yeah, which is blood magic. And then you see that a little bit in Requiem. They've got the book Blood Sorcery, and also just some of the special powers. Some of the groups, like the, again, uses blood to different effects, and also controlling the blood within people is pretty important.
Mm-hmm. No, I think a lot of the getting to vampire, probably Circle of the Crone had a lot of blood sorcery. I don't know if you guys noticed this, but in the Blood and Smoke Strix Chronicles, there's a merit you can take called Undead Menzies. And you, even though you're dead, you obviously have to be female, but you still have a menstrual cycle, which, if you use the blood from that in some of your rituals, it's really powerful, and you get, obviously, mechanical benefits to do that. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I remember seeing that.
Again, not sure how to seg from that.
Yeah. Menstruation. Yep. Awesome.
But you're dead. And using it for magic.
But you're, like, really old, and didn't something kick in? No. Yeah, I guess there is no appropriate segue from this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this better? 3.5 had the Blood Magus. That was in Complete Arcane.
Is that the guy who could, like, jump from one body to another at high enough levels? Maybe. I don't know. Because I remember there being a pretty kind of gruesome picture about, like, this guy diving into a bugbear, I thought he was, and there was kind of, like, a blood splash around him, and he was, like, popping out of another monster far enough, farther away, and I'm like, that's pretty gross.
They had, like, the blood walk, where they can travel distances going using blood, so jumping from blood pool, in a sense, to blood pool?
No, maybe that's what I was thinking. Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of gruesome. You know? I think in D&D, it's kind of one of those things, like, you don't really think about. You're like, I am mentally dominating this person, and what does that really say about me? But I'm jumping from blood pool to blood pool. But yeah, don't really think about it. Just go.
I'm hacking this other race, just killing them just because they're a different race than me.
Right.
No motivation. Just because I want to get the gold behind them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But see,
because
so,
I want the experience of it.
Yep. So what if you're playing the Blood Magus, the motivation is because I want to drink their blood?
Well, they get the derived power from blood. Yeah, they're very similar to the vampire mythology in that there's some sort of rebirth, and then they realize the power of the blood.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go from there. So it's really hard to think of a fictional use of blood magic that isn't related to, again, back to sacrifice, except really calling forth demons or something that's very much related to vampirism.
Hmm.
Yeah. Well, I suppose there's some where, it's like we said before, where, you know, whatever kind of magical spell the person wants to do, they need the blood to be able to complete it, make themselves more powerful or something like that.
Yeah.
That's actually, I think that was the Roman line where they said, macte esto, which is when they did a sacrifice, but it actually translates to be increased, as in to become more powerful.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess blood being such an important part of many cultures, it's kind of difficult to find something that hasn't already been done. So, you know, any kind of effect you would come across from blood magic is, you know, probably already been done or thought of somewhere before.
It's true. All blood magic is derivative.
Yep.
Okay, let's imagine that it is real. What would you do with it?
I'd bleed myself dry and keep it around for you.
No,
I suppose when we say real, it also depends on in which manner is it real? Like, is bathing in blood going to keep you young, or does it allow you to appease gods? So if we were to use it, which one would you guys choose? Or how would you use it in a game?
No, I would use them all. It all brings some sort of... Well, I guess I would separate it in the two different ways. One is, and back to the beginning, one is a very much tied to some sort of religious or spiritual aspect, or mm-hmm. very much a biological aspect. So the bathing and the rejuvenation, the health would all be like the biological, whereas getting mm-hmm. favors because you're actually doing it, then that would be the spiritual. So, like, you know, you look at a field of corn, mm-hmm. blood, I don't know, the sacrifice of the blood, or even if you're watering, if you will, the corn with the blood, I see that's very, very spiritual. You're appeasing some sort of spirit. It's drinking it. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you were using the blood to provide you with some sort of strength or something like that, then that's biological, because there's no middleman or middle spirit. Mm-hmm.
So like a middleman in your case would be like sacrificing some blood to ask for strength.
Okay, yeah, I suppose.
Well, because I imagine like if you drink the blood yourself and it gives you power, that sounds like you were saying there'd be some kind of like biological effect. But if you just kind of like offer a cup of blood to some kind of spirit or whatever, asking for strength, but not actually drinking the blood directly or doing anything with it, then that would be more spiritual.
That's another way to divide it. Is the blood interacting with your body in some way, or is the blood just going somewhere else, you know, some sort of a different vessel?
Well, I like where you were going with that, Lyle, to say that, you know, all of these different blood superstitions are all true. The blood is extraordinarily powerful and can be used in almost any kind of situation. But I'd tack onto that maybe making it to where just blood is not enough. It has to be in conjunction with some kind of ritual. Otherwise, it's difficult to not imagine the world being consumed by, you know, the use of blood. And also, I would make it dangerous for the attention that it brings. If you kind of do this ritual that, I don't know, for lack of a better word, energizes the blood to make it this incredibly powerful reagent, it also attracts the attentions of outside spirits and demons and things like that. Some want to come and make a deal with you, some want to just take it away from you, things like that.
That's certainly one way to do it, but I guess, like, thinking about magic, right, and obviously magic isn't real, but I think there always has to be that intent or that ritual, because, I mean, whether we're talking about blood or something else, it's kind of like waving your hands in the air and suddenly casting a fireball. Well, that kind of cheapens magic, you know, so just kind of anybody being able to cut themselves and bleed and then have this, you know, extraordinary magical effect kind of cheapens the abilities, kind of cheapens the effect. So I would definitely agree with you, Chris, that there would have to be some kind of intent or ritual to actually make use of this, you know, blood as the mega reagent, for lack of a better term.
Well, I guess we're talking about this being blood magic and blood ritual. I suppose I have to agree with what you're saying, but
I don't.
I know. No, but I can certainly see where you're something that doesn't need to do the ritual because that's just what you are. For example, I'm thinking of this thing where you use blood to seize control of people or take on their aspect. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, like shape-shifting or domination, but instead of just using those powers, you need their blood.
Right.
And that provides the connection. And I was kind of going with this when I was reading about just the blood brother rituals. Mm-hmm. And why somebody would do that. And it could be, you know, then you can control the person and ensure that they're going to keep their bond with you.
Right. Mm.
Or then you can take on their aspect. And then you become like true blood brothers, you know. Mm. You know, we're as one now. And yeah, sure, you could do a ritual with that. Absolutely. But I wouldn't want to, because it is so biological, I wouldn't want to just say only do that with blood. I could certainly see, like, for whatever genetic reason or mutant reason or things like that, when they get a hold of blood, they can do these crazy things.
It's not blood in general, but it's blood and specific people?
Absolutely, because, yeah, I can see even if you have taboos and certain laws, it would just get too crazy if everybody could just, like, drink somebody's blood. I mean, that could, I'm sure that could be an interesting game. It's just, like, everybody's so paranoid, but I don't think you could play that for any period of time. But you, then certainly you could do the magicians or the mages. Or the ritualists who know the forbidden secrets, so then therefore they're able to take blood, drink it, do the ritual. Now I can do these amazing things, and that certainly puts controls over the over that power. And then you can also have, and that, this is what I'm talking about, like the mutant, some sort of different race or different species. And when they get a hold of your blood, they can do different things. So then they can become hunted. If people know that they can do this, then they become hunted. But you could do like a very good enemy within, because if they can use it to shapeshift, then they're among us. But once somebody discovers who they are, like if you remember the movie The Thing, I'm now going on a bit here. But when you look at the movie The Thing, he's the enemy within. And one of the tests that they figured out to identify it had to do with blood, where they all gave blood. And then they put the
was it copper wire or something?
They heated the wire and then they put it in. And in normal blood, of course, once it's out of your body, it doesn't do anything. But with the thing, everything did something and everything moved. So it, you know, reacted when you put in the hot wire into the blood.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of The Thing when you said that, but you talking about some other, like, alien or some kind of, you know, mutant or whatever, being able to do something with the blood and kind of the enemy within, I was thinking of 28 Days Later.
Right.
Where isn't that like a blood contagion? And it kind of happens really, really fast. So there's not really much time for the enemy within aspect. But it's this sort of constant fear that if this blood gets on you, then that's it. I don't really know what you could do with that in for using like blood magic, but for some reason that was popping into my head when you were talking about kind of it being a contaminant or being able to control someone.
I guess what I've done is I've made it more mundane or made it more medical. And 28 Days Later, yeah, that's great. That's a great idea. But yeah, you're exactly right. It is now a biohazard, as opposed to a magical component or something very spiritual. So, yeah, that's certainly the danger. And what I'm suggesting is, even if you did have the mutant, you were very much blood is it's blood in a sense. They're just able to do something special with it, but not necessarily in a magical way. So, So I think it makes it more scientific and more mundane.
Well, if
I
was going to say, if you kind of go, you know, like high tech, because, you know, any sufficiently advanced technology is going to look like magic. But the Uma Thurman Ethan Hawke movie Gattaca was on TV the other night, and I really like that movie. And it's not magic because it's, you know, future tech, but in that movie, blood played a very important role, because a drop of your blood was your ID, and that's how they would tell if you were a legitimate citizen. They knew everything about you, you know, when you were going to die, what diseases you could catch, and it almost was kind of magic in a sense. And spoilers, the whole idea is that someone was masquerading as a different person and using their blood to bypass these security checks and fool the system and the rest of society into thinking they were someone else. So I was also thinking of that, Lyle, while you were talking about the idea that I now have your blood and therefore I can take on your aspects. It's kind of a mundane or slightly science fiction way and not magic, but that is another way to do it.
You saying that, I started thinking about drugs and the blood being a drug. Now, I know Vampire does something with this, or True Blood does something with this. But when you're talking about the identity, if somebody could figure out, or perhaps you do mix it with a certain chemical, then people can ingest blood, and it could be some sort of high where they have the memories of the person.
Mm.
It could be where they
that's awesome.
Get the abilities of that person, but for a temporary, it's only temporary, so it wears off, so they might become addicted to the blood from somebody.
Right.
Again, Vampire does this really well with Ghoul, but there you get very generic powers, like longevity and strength, but here you could closely tie it to the identity of the person that you get the blood with.
Right.
And so then you can have a very interesting black market.
Yes, yes.
Again, you can certainly put the rituals on there. So this black market only caters to wizards or mages or those that know the certain secrets and the certain rituals that you need to perform to do something with this and to trigger these powers. So
I really like the side of that where he's saying maybe experience some of their thoughts or something for a little while. I'm thinking about the movie Strange Days, where
I was thinking of. Yeah.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Where you kind of take a shot of blood, and for the next 10 minutes you get to live through their eyes or something. You could. Oh, there's so much you could do with that. And if anyone out there hasn't seen Strange Days, go watch it now because it's a
highly recommend. Yeah, absolutely. It could be their memories, or like you're saying, through their eyes suddenly. Mm. You've got this blood connection for whatever. I mean, the blood is still pulsing within their body, and now their blood is pulsing within your body. And, I mean, again, you need, it could be a ritual that triggers it. It could be a chemical that triggers. It could always happen. So imagine you get a blood transfusion, and society just realizes it. You have a blood transfusion. We got to kind of contain the situation for about 10 minutes. Because a person's going to suddenly start to experience everything that came from whoever donated that blood.
Oh, that's right. Awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I was actually thinking of a twist on that. You take it as either the science fiction version or as the mystical version, but do a bit of a twist on the vampires, where they're the ones who know about this the properties of the blood, and they're going around trying to keep society in order from finding out too much about it.
I mean, you kind of take that one step further, and like vampires aren't necessarily vampires. Then they're just people who understand how to unlock
exactly
all of
blood's
properties.
Yeah.
That would be pretty good. And if somebody like really liked Twilight, and so they wanted vampires that weren't vampires.
So in other words, they wanted fairies in their game. Yeah.
You could really twist around the mythology with that. You know, maybe they want to be in secret, so they primarily only operate at night, and that's where the rumors of vampires being killed by sunlight come from.
No, I definitely like the idea of the blood having all these powers and needing magic to kind of unlock them. Yeah. I like that. I could see a setting where people who know about that, and instead of getting a blood transfusion, well, then they just collect their own blood, you know, to prevent that from happening. Because, again, kind of like, if anything becomes valuable, people are going to take steps to protect it. And therefore, I could see people stockpiling their own blood so that they don't have to go through that weird memory transfusion if they, need new blood.
Okay.
I see.
I wasn't getting what you were saying. It sounded, at first, I thought they were draining blood and then putting it in a vault so no one would get it. But they're like, but it's still in your body. You still got blood in your body.
Blood flow.
No, I was thinking more like,
you don't need to drain blood. But no, I see what you're people, some paranoid people do that because they're worried about getting hepatitis or HIV through a blood transfusion, so they stockpile their own blood and use that in case they ever need it.
Maybe they're just onto something and they're like, I'm not going to let anybody hold onto this blood so they can't, control me or get any of my powers.
Right. Okay. Of course, it's completely
untrue.
Crazy powers. Of course, it's completely untrue, so I'm not suggesting anything or any conspiracy, but what if AIDS is a myth to scare people about blood?
Dun, dun, dun. Dun. That's awesome.
No. But,
and also incredibly not true.
Yes.
But you could, that's really, really interesting, because you could say about how the HIV, quote, air quotes, conspiracy is a more modern thing, and there's also not that much modern blood sacrifice either. It's all back in the old days.
Hmm.
Coincidence?
Yes.
I like how we'll totally like savage religion, but like saying, AIDS is a myth.
We didn't say religion was a myth. We just
said fair enough.
I think maybe I was overly kind on the Aztec faith. you know, defending the odd Aztec listener that we have, just saying, well, you know, Christianity is not that different from it.
Right. Because yeah, somewhere, somehow, this is going back in time.
Yeah. And it, but I just love how we're throwing out, like, vampires, the thing, and not putting disclaimers, but as soon as you say that AIDS is a myth, and they're like, but not totally not
like
true.
How many times in a magic episode that we saying, no, I don't really believe in magic, but this magic thing is...
I think in every episode, towards the beginning, one of us will go, now, I don't believe this, but... magic doesn't really exist, but...
Well, you know, this kind of also brings up an additional aspect that we didn't discuss earlier about blood, but it's also because blood is a very personal thing. Your blood is your own. And of course, you can share with other donor types, but it's a very individual kind of thing, going with what we're saying about your own memories and things.
Go ahead, Wayne. I'm going to talk about blood types. What are you going to talk
about? Yeah, sure. I was going to say it both is and it isn't, because you have that idea of bloodlines, and blood means family. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, you're absolutely right. It is personal, because mm-hmm. that is your blood. But it also it's more. It's like, we are family. Why? Because we are blood. Mm-hmm. You know, and you can trace your bloodline all the way back to, you know, however far back you can trace. So I think that's a pretty interesting duality about blood.
That's a really good point, yeah.
Yeah. What I was thinking of, and we haven't mentioned, was about blood types. And it's funny, because coming from Japan, people are very much aware of their blood type. Actually, I've always known what my blood type was, but some people come from North America and they don't.
Hi-yo, my hand's raised. I don't know.
Yeah. That's weird. But in Japan, people know, because they associate a personality type with your blood type.
Mm-hmm.
And the most common blood type, I believe, in North America is O. And the most and the most common blood type in Japan is A. And the idea is, I'm not saying all Japanese people believe this, but the idea is that a blood type A person is very, I guess, hardworking, kind of boring, actually.
It's the same as a type A personality that we say in English.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, yeah.
Whereas a B is more selfish.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody's a very selfish person, they happen to be type B, you might go, oh, well, type B, of course, yeah. And AB is more schizophrenic, and I think always kind.
Yeah, always relaxed, easygoing, but sometimes aloof and or distant. I'm O, by the way.
Oh, okay. I guess kind didn't really work in there, so. Right. But that could be something to work into the game, is that, that actually does kind of influence who you are, who you can connected with.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So that could also be a limit to the rituals. I mean, you not only need blood, but you need blood from an O, because I want to do this.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I need blood from an AB, because I want to do this. And, you know, play. I mean, you could use what the Japanese do and somehow work with that. So anything that's schizophrenic or like twins related or something like that can be AB. Selfish. I'm trying to work. What do you do with selfish? But anyway.
You
want to make money. It's got to be B.
No, if you want the ritual to work on yourself, you need the selfish.
That's exactly what I was going to say too. Yeah, and I was going to say, if you wanted to kind of go with the idea that different people's blood will do different things, but you didn't want to go completely not random, but as you know, you didn't want to deal with as many different characteristics as there were people, you could kind of narrow it down to quote-unquote schools of magic, and hey, you know, blood type A does this, blood type B does that, blood type O does that, blood type AB does that, you know.
I'm a type O wizard.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and you know, again, thinking of True Blood, the different types of blood had different tastes, and I thought that was pretty funny.
That's right. Yeah, the different bottles. Bottles of B, bottles of.
Yeah, oh, like, that's you know, true. Yeah.
Which one do you like best? You're like, oh man, this one tastes like garbage. I guess the B's okay.
You could kind of play with like the positive and negative energies they have in D&D. You know, like where healing versus like undead kind of energy. You could do that with the positive and negative blood types.
No, I was thinking, like, you talking about, you know, positive and negative schools in D&D, I mean, that made me think of undead and skeletons, and it's kind of weird how blood represents life, yet there's nothing in that about D&D, and I could see magic with blood, which represents life, being really useful against undead stuff, which is not life.
That might just be because D&D is kind of a little bit on the tame side.
Or maybe it's because you'd be throwing food at them. And usually throwing food at somebody doesn't make them weaker.
All Take right. this blood, vampire.
It's All like, right. Ah, yeah. Here you go. Here's some bread. Okay, I'm eating it. Wait. And take some more bread.
Why aren't you going away? God damn it.
It comes. They're like the pigeons. You'd be like, oh my God, you got like 50 zombies around you.
I know. Now I just have this image of like somebody chucking a bucket of blood down the steps and like, beat it, you lousy skeletons. Why do you keep coming back? The vampire comes, scares them all off, and starts licking the pavement. On that silly note,
I think on that note we'll end there, and that so concludes our episode on blood magic.
All right, well, thank you for joining us again on Idle Red Hands. Check us out online at www.idleredhands.com, idleredhands.com. You can listen to the episodes right there on the website, or stream it through Stitcher or iTunes, or download the episodes off of DriveThruRPG. You can follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, plus one us on G+. You can send us an email at info@idleredhands.com, or you can join up in the forums, which are hosted at Happy Jacks. You can reach them at idleredhands.com/forums. Thanks a lot, and see you next time.
I totally forgot to mention Susan Vega's Blood Makes Noise.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what?
I thought it was an appropriate song.
All right. Bye.
Oh.
Okay, bye.
See ya.
Yeah, I think that sounded pretty good.
Yeah, that was a good one, Chris.
Well done.
Except for the fact we talk about menstruation, raping virgins.
He brought up
humanity. Well, yeah, I said we didn't go too far.
Oh.
No, I didn't.
We discussed it before, I think, in the divination episode about how the Greeks would slaughter goats before every battle in a campaign to try and figure out how the battle would go. So they would, we imagine.
Romans.
Was it the Romans?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I thought so.
You know, I was actually going to start this this part with saying, and Lyle's probably going to correct me on my Roman history here at some point, but.
It looks a lot like a crucifixion.
Hmm. And here I thought this was going to be a very... positive episode. I'm just like, yeah, there's a lot of crucifixion going on.
Mm. Yeah. You gotta bleed. I don't know. I wonder if he should have ran by some of these points by groups of people. Are you offended by this? Okay, how about this?
We might want to give a disclaimer at the beginning of the episode.
Hey, and here's a trigger warning. If you couldn't tell from the name of the episode, there's gonna be a lot of blood and violence in this one.
Drive Through RPG. We average 9 new titles a day. That's over 60 a week, and we've got well over 15,000 RPG titles online right now. Drive Through RPG, the one true source for RPGs.
Oh, Idle Red Hands, recorded in Kobe, Japan. See us online at www.idleredhands.com. Music provided by Tripod Jimmy, and the song was Roadkill. Hope you enjoyed it. See you next time.